There's no other show quite like The Ron Van Dam Show. Thank God for that. Oh, can you imagine if there were two of these or more? Whoa, that is a world I do not want to live in. There's only one, and it's enough. This is The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Here we go.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am part of that equation. Thanks for being here. I'm going to entertain you for the next 30 minutes, and then you're on your own, as usual. You're looking good today. I will compliment you so that you like me more. So, relax. This is going to be fun, huh? Go. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible. I do this every once in a while because you're supposed to do it. First, there is the announcer, a comedy writer, John Shanahan. Without him, I would not know who John Shanahan is. But I do now. Check out our New England Broadcasting website, newenglandbroadcasting.com. And at the bottom of the page, you'll see what John's doing, and he has an incredible place to visit as well. And then there's Jason Shaw, who composes and performs the theme song, the closing theme, and some of the incidental music, incidentally, and does it for the show, and we appreciate it, Jason. You're a good man. And then there's Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She also works for us in booking many of the national interviews that we do on this programo. Programo is the Latin version of the word program. And there are others involved, but they wish to be kept anonymous for professional reasons. Which I can well understand under the circumstances. And then there's you. Without you, I would be nothing. That sounds like a song because, in reality, that's not the case. But it sounds good to say. It's perception, kids. It's not the truth, it's not the lies, it's the perception. Isn't that sad? It's sad, it's very sad. Good for you. Good for you. I mean, you know, good for you. I wish I could just say that to people. I wish I could say what was really on my mind without muttering it under my breath. I mean, if someone is like, you know, just to say, hey, Ron, guess what I did today? I went to the store and I bought this wonderful chair. The chair is beautiful. My response? Well, good for you. That's good for you. Do you understand? It's good for nobody else but you. Well, I did this, and then I did that, and then I said this to this person, and then I said that, and I did this about it, and I know, and this is, I did this. I did it. I said it. I meant it. Well, good for you. Good for you. I'm glad for you. You said those things and you did those things. Good for you. Good for you. How does this affect me? Not at all. But good for you. Good for you. Do you feel better saying these things about yourself, all the things you did yesterday, what you had for dinner last night, someone got you flowers? Good for you. That's good for you. Now, if you're going to be so self-absorbed, I can be self-absorbed too and say, how does this affect me? Why should I even care what you're saying to me at this point? But you don't do that because it's called conversation. You leave it alone, you shut the hell up. The lesson of life, ladies and gentlemen, I implore you to understand this. Shut up. The more you say, the more trouble you get yourself into. The more arguments you get into, you say things by mistake, you say things wrong to piss other people off. If you just had shut up to begin with, this wouldn't be happening. Don't you understand that? Don't you get it? I try to tell the people, but they don't listen to me. They just don't hear me. All right. Am I saying things that are a little too obvious? Oh, I guess I am. I'm sorry about that. Well, it's time to hold up a puppy dog. I have one here. I'm going to hold it up, and I'm going to gain your favor immediately. I'm going to show you what a caring, loving individual I am as I hold up a puppy dog. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. Isn't Ron a wonderful person? He held up a puppy dog in front of me, and all I could do was just melt. Aww. Oh, that's all I can do. Yeah, it's all you can do.
Whatever.
I know. I program my Alexa to say whatever instead of anything else. When I ask her, what's the weather out today? She answers, whatever. That's what she does. Look, I'll show you. Alexa, what's the weather for today?
Whatever.
That's it. That's what it is. That's exactly how I've programmed her. Oh, listen. With a high of 74 degrees and a low of 51 degrees. Did you hear that? She actually answered me. I have Alexa in every room because I'm lonely. Ron, you devil. You have a girl in every room? Yes, I do. All right. Today's topic, as you sit in your classroom of life, today's topic is needless and stupid lawsuits. Uh-huh. Needless and stupid lawsuits. Yeah. Which is today's fact of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again. For Ron's fact of the day.
With all the stuff going on in the world around us, the fact that we don't have a Congress because the Republicans in the House of Representatives can't even find a leader, so nothing gets done, nothing gets passed. With all that going on, I'm spending my time doing a show about frivolous lawsuits. Oh, well. Oh, well. Anyway. I have a guest coming up a little bit later who is going to give you the real facts about some of these things, how the frivolous lawsuits are actually hurting all of us. First, I'm going to tell you a story. Basically, the way this came up is I watch a lot of television, as you probably know if you listen to the program, and there's a state nearby the state that I live in called Rhode Island. Lovely little town. Problem is, though, their major commercial on Rhode Island television, and even Rhode Island citizens will admit to this, is are these commercials for civil litigation, slip and fall cases by these attorneys. They call them ambulance chasers. There's tons of them, and they're on billboards, they're on television commercials, they're on radio commercials. They bombard, for some reason, the state of Rhode Island. Now, this happens in every single state. But in that state, for some reason, that seems to be their major industry. And they make it sound like, oh, something happened to you. Well, short of just making it up, let's sue them for everything they have. And we'll get you, like, I got this person $10 million, and I got this person $5 million, and this person fell down in a supermarket, and we got them $30 million. What? What are you talking about? That's not the way it is. And our expert later on the show will explain why not, which you should have figured out to begin with, but some of you don't. I'm going to tell you a story that actually happened to me. Ron, things happen to you? Yeah, not a lot, but sometimes they do. I was much younger. I was, I believe, 21 years old. I was the youngest movie theater manager in Manhattan in New York City at the time. I'm not gloating, because then you can say, oh, good for you, Ron. And I did a whole thing about that at the beginning of the show. So I'm not gloating. But this is a true story. I was a movie theater manager. I was managing the Gramercy Theater. Gramercy Theater is now a concert venue. When I lived in New York City and managed that theater, it was a first-run movie house, a movie theater. When a movie would be playing in New York City, only like one theater would have it, unlike today where every theater has the same movie. Back then, when I was growing up and doing this movie theater manager thing, there was one theater that had a particular movie. So it was very, very busy. In the afternoon, not so much. So I'm managing the theater. It's the afternoon. It's about something like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I believe the movie that was playing was Diary of a Mad Housewife, or no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, it was much later on. I can't remember which film it was. Anyway, in the theater were probably about, I'd say, 20 people tops. And all of a sudden, the usher comes down to my office and says, "Ron, we have a problem. This lady wants to talk to you." I said, Oh, okay. And she's quite upset. Uh-oh. So I walked out of my office and I walked into the lobby of the theater where this lady was waiting for me. She was approximately, I'd say, 40, 45, 50 years old. Not well-dressed at all. Kind of looked like a bag lady. You know what a bag lady is? Looks like it's a lady that looks like they should be in a bag. Or have one over their head. That kind of. She was just a. She didn't look good. She was dressed not well, like 10 notches above homeless, but not, you know, but more toward that than anything else. So anyway, so she comes up to me and says, "Are you the manager?" I said, "Yes, I am." I said it in that voice. "Yes, I am." And she said, I was sitting in the movie theater in the sixth row, and this man was trying to get to a seat that was beyond me, and as he was trying to get by me, his rear end touched me, and his hand touched my lap." And I said, "Well, it's dark in a movie theater, and maybe he was just trying to get his balance or something and by mistake touched you inappropriately." She says, no, it was on purpose, but I was touched nonetheless. I said, what would you like me to do? She says, "I want you to call the police." I said, "Well, I nobody saw that. I mean, I'm sure it happened to you, but you may be misunderstanding how it happened. The guy was just trying to get by you to get to his seat, perhaps." "Is he still here?" She says, no, I think he left. "It was a grope and run." I said, "Well, I'm not, you know, I don't know. Nobody saw this. You're free to use our phone here to call the police yourself if you'd like to do so." She says, "Well, I'd like you to call the police." I said, "But we didn't see this. We could call and say there's a woman here who was, but you're free to use our phone." Anyway, so the police were called. They came over. They wrote a report, and about a month later, the corporate headquarters of the movie theater chain It was Cinema 5 Rugoff Theaters was the corporate headquarters, who owned about, I'd say about 8 theaters in New York City, but the top-notch ones. And they called me up and said, Ron, we got a summons to appear in court because of a groping incident that took place in your theater. You did fill out a report, you sent it to us, but apparently this lady is filing charges against the theater. I said, against the theater? And said, yeah, we don't understand it either. To be honest with you, this is just a civil case. Can you just go and you're the manager, and can you just go to the courthouse? It's next week at 12 noon. Can you go there and just, you know, do what you can do? I said, sure, I guess, sure. But, I mean, this is crazy. We know. She's trying to sue us. So I said, sue us for what? Sue us for what? We didn't have a man walk in front of her. I mean, this is something that suing us for what? What do we do? What do we do? Anyway, I said, Ron, don't talk to us. Just go to the courtroom and see if you can take care of this. So I go there. A week later, I go there. I put on a nice suit because I'm going to. I had never been to court before. I'd never been to court. I've seen on television shows about courtroom. I went to Perry Mason and things like that at that time. But I never been in a courtroom before. I was too young to even do jury duty, really. So I go in there. And I walk into the courtroom. As I tell the story today, it's still unbelievable to me. I walk into the courtroom, and there's a judge sitting at this big judge's bench thing. And there are a couple of other people there, stenographer and all that kind of stuff. And this lady is sitting there in a chair on the side. And I'm sitting there, and the judge says, "All right, bring the court to order. This is a case number 7773, incident at the Gramercy Theater, New York City, the plaintiff is Mrs. Shapiro. Betty, how are you? How you doing today, Betty?"
"I'm doing fine, Bob."
They know each other. Come to find out, this is not the first time this lady has been to this particular court to complain about a particular incident at other places. She's a professional sue-your-ass person. And she gets away with it because the courts have to hear her. To the point where the judge knows who she is. And I'm thinking, well, this could go two ways. Either the judge knows that she's a professional litigant, or they actually know each other and she never loses. So the judge asked me to explain what happened. And I said, to be honest with you, I don't know what happened. It's a movie theater. It's dark in there. I can make assumptions. A guy probably trying to get to his seat and lost his balance and touched her inappropriately for a second and kept going. I don't know. Nobody saw it. We don't know who the guy is. She doesn't know where he is. So I don't know what to tell. I don't know what to tell you. And the judge actually sits back in his chair, listens to her story, which is outlandish, and decides the case in her favor. I could not believe it. I got back to the theater, sat in my office, called the corporate, and said she won the case. Apparently, she even knows the judge. And I said, "Well, Ron, you did the best you could. What are you going to do?" I don't know the amount of what she collected, if she did it. I have no idea. I don't know the ramifications of it. I just know corporate pretty much just said, you know, this is what happens. And, what are you going to do? You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing about America, lovely country as I understand it. Although these days, not so impressive, but lovely country, basically, this America thing. But if you're in a supermarket and somebody drops something on the floor, you know, falls out of their cart and falls onto the supermarket floor in the middle of the aisle, and somebody else comes by and trips on it, How is a supermarket responsible for something falling out of somebody else's cart and having some other patron immediately not look where they're going and fall down? I mean, at the supermarket, without question, is responsible. They pay high costs of insurance, etc. I don't understand. I guess it's just people trying to make a buck when they weren't looking where they were going, which is what you're supposed to do as a human being. You can't say everybody else is at fault and you're never at fault, Trump. You can't say that. You have to be responsible for yourself. It's unbelievable to me. So I thought I would talk about this today, and we do have a guest who is going to shed some light on this and all these commercials that you see where, did something happen to you? Did you slip and fall? Something like that. We can sue for millions of dollars, and and if you lose your case you pay nothing. That's how good we are. We don't charge you anything unless you win. If you lose, you pay nothing. Why would you not go that route? Well, there's a reason why you shouldn't go that route. And unfortunately, America is full of these ridiculous lawsuits. If someone's on my property, Halloween, and there's a twig on my sidewalk, and they trip over the twig. I didn't put the twig there. It blew there like a couple of minutes previous to the kid coming to the house to get the candy. Kid falls down, scrapes his knee. They got injured on your property. They can sue you. Whether or not they're successful, I don't know. It depends on the court, I suppose. But at the same time, if that twig wasn't there, did you invite them on your property? Well, I guess I did. It was Halloween. I mean, there wasn't a sign out there with the people's name and said, Bobby, you're invited to come on my property. No, you decide to come on my property by yourself, but it's Halloween, so I guess I invited you by having my light on. These are all like, by the way, that didn't actually happen. I'm just talking about, for instance, things. It's about time that human beings start being responsible for themselves. If you trip and fall in a nightclub, and I've seen this happen before, there are professional people who walk around and fall down on purpose, skin their knee, go to the hospital, get a report, and then they try to sue the establishment because they fell down in the establishment. It was a nightclub. When you're in a nightclub, you got to be careful. It's dark. Watch where you're going. You probably had a few drinks. I can't prove that you did. You can't prove that you didn't. My guest joins us momentarily, and we're going to hear about how these things work and why it's probably not a great idea to find one of these attorneys that, you know, you pay nothing unless you win. Well, you got to check that out a little bit more. But first, there's this.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Dr. Robert Hartwig joins us now. He's a CPCU, Clinical Associate Professor of Finance and Director, Center for Risk and Uncertainty Management, and all that stuff. There's so much more. You could do a lot of stuff here, Robert. I live in the Boston area, and I am bombarded day and night when I watch television with commercials from Rhode Island, which seems to be the center of a civil litigation attorney land. Every other commercial is about it. They make it seem so wonderful, and they tout the amount of money that they get for their clients, and that's supposed to make us feel like, well, we should partake in this somehow. This is a thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, Ron, and you hit the nail on the head. You simply cannot escape the advertising that you see put out there by the plaintiff's attorneys today. 24/7, 365. It's on billboards. It's on radio. It's on television. Yep. It's on the internet. And $1 billion plus is spent by the plaintiff's attorneys every year.
Yeah, it seems like that. And all you have to do is take a little bit of a slip in a supermarket on the floor where someone left a Cheerio. And apparently you've got yourself a case. That's the way it seems to be painted for me.
Well, absolutely. And again, plaintiff's attorneys have led you to believe that you're basically assured a huge payout and that you're going to walk away maybe as a millionaire from slipping on that Cheerio in the grocery store.
Yep.
The reality is something different. This is one of the biggest myths is that the plaintiff's attorneys themselves obviously are in this for a profit, and they take a third to 40% of every payout that occurs, and that's even if you get any payout at all.
Wow. Yeah, they seem to say that if you lose, then you pay nothing. Is that accurate?
They take the cases generally on a contingency fee basis, but again, it could be a little bit of misleading here because of the reality of what is another myth. In that you might have been able to get a very quick and expeditious settlement from your insurance company simply by calling them directly after the accident happened, mm-hmm. or taking it up with the insurer associated with the individual that wronged you. But there are a lot of uncertainties introduced by the introduction of a plaintiff's attorney. One of them is how long it might take to settle, and again, whether there'll be any settlement whatsoever. But again, as I mentioned, if there is a settlement, the plaintiff's attorneys are going to take a very, very large share of it.
What about any extra fees, such as a witness or a doctor or an expert that may come into play? If they do, who pays for that?
Well, again, that's all going to come out of your award in one way or another. Someone has to pay for these people. And I will tell you a dirty little secret that the plaintiff's attorneys have out there right now is they are so desperate to lodge these suits, as many as they can, is they actually take external funding in some cases, what is known as third-party litigation funding. Believe it or not, plaintiff's attorneys actually solicit outside investors who will tide them over no matter how long these cases might take. And these people are literally attempting to profit from your injury. And again, those costs have to all be built into the system.
Who pays for all of these court costs? I mean, if there's so many cases like this, I mean, who's paying for this litigation in the long run? Is it us?
Exactly. Ron, it's you, it's me, and it's all your listeners out there. The average American household today pays what we call a tort tax of $3,600 per year, which literally goes into the civil litigation system. And that raises the cost of absolutely everything from groceries to gasoline. Wow.
And that's all people trying to make a buck.
That's it. And unfortunately, they're trying to profit off of you, me, and your good list.
Wow. Let's talk about small claims court. Is that another way of doing this? Is that what the attorneys are doing, or are the attorneys doing something else?
Yeah, the attorneys here are really aiming higher than small claims court. What they are doing is generally aiming at the limits of your insurance, whether you're a homeowner, whether you're a driver, or really in the bullseyes are businesses. For instance, truck drivers and delivery companies out there are shelling out billions of dollars per year in civil litigation because it is a number one target of the trial lawyers. And obviously, pretty much everything we buy is transported or delivered by some sort of a vehicle, and they are targeting their insurance companies because very often they have limits of, say, $1 million or more.
Yeah.
So that's a very juicy target for the plaintiff's attorney.
Yeah, I would guess so. I also see commercials for attorneys that if your automobile insurance or your home insurance is not paying out enough to you, then these attorneys will get you even more. Is that accurate?
Well, again, that's what they are claiming. Again, they are trying to insert themselves. The plaintiff's attorneys are trying to insert themselves between you and your insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no evidence at all to suggest that, especially net of any type of commission, essentially a fee that the attorney is going to get, that you're going to do any better. But it is certainly going to slow down the process. And this whole process also, unfortunately, breeds all kinds of potential for fraud and abuse, which is another reason why auto insurance rates continue to rise in the United States.
Wow. So, Dr. Hartwig, have we covered most of the concerns we have here, most of the warnings to the public?
Yes, I think that we have. We've covered the major myths associated with civil litigation in the United States. And I think one thing maybe we want to end on is if you'd like more information, the American Property Casualty Insurance Association at APCI.org has a lot of great information available for you on your website.
Wonderful. And I guess if you do happen to enter into an agreement with any of these components, check that contract very, very carefully in all the terms before you sign. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I always want to read over your insurance policy and understand that the insurance company is there for you in the event that you have a claim.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.